All right, let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter, the first chapter. I'm going to call this message tonight a sermon for me. I started studying this scripture to bring you a message tonight. And it was such a blessing to me that I thought, well, I'll just preach this sermon to me and let you listen in. A sermon for me. And the verse with which I want to begin is verse 10, one of great interest to me. I'm sure it will be to you. This is a question that I'm deeply interested in. I'm sure you are. How are we to know that we are of that chosen generation? He said, you're a chosen generation, am I? You're a royal priesthood, am I? You're a holy nation, am I? He says in verse 10, wherefore the rather brethren, preacher, elder, brethren, sisters, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. I believe the primary concern, my primary concern and yours too, is to make sure of our election of God. I cannot look into God's book of life. I know that in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world are written the names of his elect. Our Lord said one day to his disciples, they came back rejoicing that in their success. And they said to the Master, even the devil was subject unto us. Ah, he said, rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. Well, I can't see the book of life. And I can't look into God's eternal decrees. Then how am I to know? Evidently, we can know our election because he commands us to know it. Wouldn't you say so? He says, give diligence, extreme attention and care to determining your election. So if Christ tells us to know our election, then we must can know it. Well, how can we know that we're God's elect? How can I know that I'm God's elect? Well, there are three major things mentioned here. First of all, I can know that I'm God's elect by my calling. Now, in the Lord's order, our election precedes our calling. It says in Romans 8, let's look over there a moment, in Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 29 of Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. So calling way down the line there, wasn't it? He foreknew his people in his will and covenant. He predestinated or elected and predestinated them to be like Christ, and then later on he called them. So in God's order and in God's purpose, our election preceded our calling. But with us, the calling's first. We know our election by our calling. If I can determine that I have been called of God, then I am one of God's elect, because whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he predestinated. One and the same. So I have to find out my calling. Well, I looked up the word calling. The word calling is mentioned several times in the scriptures. Here, first of all, I found it in, and this is something we need to do, because let's look at 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 13. This is an examination, and that's what he tells us to do here in 2 Corinthians 13, 5. He said, examine yourselves. He doesn't give us the liberty and right to examine others. We can't do that. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? Don't I know myself? I can't speak for no one but myself. What man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man is in him? So really, I'm the only one I can preach this sermon to tonight, because I'm the one knows myself. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove yourself. Know you not your own self? How that Jesus Christ is in you except to be a reprobate. So let's make my calling. 1 Corinthians Chapter 1, verse 26. Listen to this. This is so clear. Verse 26. For you see your calling. You see your calling. This is what, make your calling and election sure. If I'm called, I'm God's elect. Whom he predestinated, he called. So you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Hear the call. God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Can I put myself in? Do I fit this description? Foolish? Foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things to confound the things which are mighty. God has chosen the base things. Things which are despised, that's God chosen. Things which are not. Nothing in themselves. To bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So this calling, it centers the Lord calls. It's the foolish. It's the weak. It's the base. It's the despised, it's the nobodies that God has chosen. Well, I can fit that. Spiritually, I'm base, weak, nothing, nobody. I didn't come to him, he came to me. I didn't love him, he loved me. I didn't seek him, he sought me. I didn't call on him, he called on me. I didn't contribute one thing to the redemption of my soul. I'm a sinner. So this calling, first of all, make your calling sure. Well, he calls sinners. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came into the world to save sinners. We've just sang it a moment ago. In my hands, no price I bring. Simply to the cross of Christ I cling. All right, I found this word calling again. 2 Timothy. Make your calling sure. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Paul says to young Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now listen, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, a heavenly calling, not according to our works. This salvation, this calling, is in no wise according to our works. Because of our works, based on our works, or depending on our works to come, works, the works of the flesh, the deeds of the law, have absolutely nothing to do with the call of God. Nothing whatsoever. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his own mercy and grace in Christ. Can you fit that? I can't. Not according to our works, but I rejoice in this, but according to his own purpose. His own purpose. Does a man have to believe in sovereign grace to be saved? Yes, sir. That's the only kind there is. Does a man have to believe in God's eternal grace to be saved? That's the only kind there is. That's what he says here. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. We dismiss our works. Paul said he looked back and saw all of his ancestry and his heritage and his religious works, and he said, I count it but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. That which was gained to me, I count loss. He called me, not according to any works he saw in me or from me or of me or my future or depending. He called me based on one foundation. He purposed to do it. He willed to do it. He chose to do it. It was his own purpose and grace, watch it now, which was given me in Jesus Christ before this world ever began. Can you come in there? I can. I don't only believe the doctrine of sovereign love and sovereign mercy and sovereign grace given us in Christ before the world began. I not only believe it, I flat love it. I rejoice in it. I thank God for it. The God of heaven and earth never does anything in time he didn't purpose to do in eternity. That's known unto God are all his works from the beginning. That's the God of the Bible. And I'm just glad. Wouldn't take a dollar and a half and a cow and a calf or a ranch in Texas for what he's taught me about grace, would you? I'm glad. I don't try to defend the sovereignty of God. I just preach it. You don't have to defend the lion. Just turn him loose. So make your calling. Make your calling. What kind of calling? Call sinners. Bona fide, foolish, base, weak, despised, nothing. I can come in there. Dust to the balance, drop in the bucket. Inhabitants of this earth, grasshoppers in his sight. And then it was a holy calling, a sovereign calling, an eternal calling given us freely in Jesus Christ before we was ever thought of, before the world began. Thirdly, Philippians chapter 3. Those who are called, they come to Christ. They leave their traditions and their ceremonies and their religion and their works and their all these things, and they look to Christ, they come to Christ, they believe on Christ, they receive Christ, they cling to Christ, they keep coming to Christ. Listen to this famous religious fellow that whom the Lord saved, the Apostle Paul. Verse 7 of Philippians 3, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the obedience of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, oh, that I may know him. Paul knew him. He wants to know him better. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, if by any means, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. I haven't already arrived. I'm not already perfect. Far peace from it. But I follow after, if that I may lay hold upon that for which I have been laid hold of by Jesus Christ. Brethren, listen now. I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived. But just one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before, and I press, and I seek, and I look, and I keep coming towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I come in there. I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. Far short of it. But I'll tell you this. I'm looking to Him. Trusting Him. Coming to Him. Over and over. Every day. And pressing. Towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. It's a high calling. Of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This calling is of God and it's in Christ. That woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I can get to Him, if I can get to Him, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be whole. And that's this calling. And that's how we can know we're God's elect. And here's the fourth one. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. This calling of God is in Christ Jesus, and we press, look, keep coming to Christ. To whom coming? To whom coming? All right, Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 6. Now listen to this. I therefore, Paul said, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness and with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because there's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. What is that hope? It's to be in that one body. Is to be possessed and filled with that one Spirit. It is to know, verse 5, that one Lord. It is to have, by God's grace, that one faith and one baptism and one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. That's the hope of His calling. Christ in you, the hope of His calling. The hope of eternal glory is Christ in you. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the presence and by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me. One hope, one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith. One baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. All right. The fifth way this word is used, in 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. Make my calling sure. He calls sinners. I can come in there. It was His sovereign, eternal mercy and grace, not my works. I rest in that. Those who are called are still coming to Christ. They never stop coming to Christ. They never stop pressing, pressing into the kingdom of God, because they have one hope. That's it. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one hope. That's Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20, It says this, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Go back to verse 18. Let's see what this is. Any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. If any man called in uncircumcision, he doesn't have to be circumcised. He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to change his occupation. He doesn't have to change his life, his worship. He abides in the calling wherewith God calls, unless it's contrary to God's grace, unless it's contrary to God's kingdom. But circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. The keeping of the commandments of God, so that if a man's a Jew and God saves him, he's not going to adjust around and become a Gentile. He's a Jew, saved Jew. Man's a Gentile when God calls him. He's not going to turn around and become a Jew and get under the law. He remains a Gentile. So however God calls him, he remains in that. He continues in Christ. He continues. Looking to him, believing him. Salvation is Christ. Christ, not keeping the law, not doing these things, it's looking to Christ. All right, that's the first one now. Let's look back at our text. How do I know I'm one of God's elect? By my calling. By my calling. And those five things I just gave you are the calling he talks about throughout the New Testament. He calls sinners. It's a call by grace, not works. Those who are called keep coming to Christ. Those who are called have one hope of their calling. Those who are called abide as God called them, in the faith of Christ, in love for Christ, in the way of Christ. The second thing is this. Is the presence of the graces mentioned above. Now let's look back at verse 1 of 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. It's the presence of the graces mentioned here. Now let's look at a few of them. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us. This is the way we know we're God's elect, because God's given us some things. He's given us some things. He's given us, he says, all things. All things that pertain unto life, unto eternal life, spiritual life, and godliness. And he gives this all things to us through the knowledge of Christ, of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All right, here's some of the things he's given us. Now, back here in verse 1, he says we've obtained faith. He gave us that faith. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. I believe God. You believe God. I have faith. And this is one of the things that pertain to life. Without faith, no man can please God. Without faith, no man's saved. We're saved through faith. And he's given us that faith. It pertains to life and godliness. He's given us that faith. All right, secondly, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The Lord has given us great and precious promises. We have the promise of perseverance. We have the promise of forgiveness. We have the promise of righteousness. We have precious promises. We believe. I believe God's promise. Abraham believed that what God had promised, he could do. He could do what he promised. All right, read on. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of a divine nature. Faith, believing God, gives us a divine nature, a new nature. He's given us a new nature. And we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We don't love the world, we love Christ. We don't love the ways of the world, we love the ways of God. You see what he's given us? All things that pertain to life. Faith, precious promises, and a new nature, a divine nature. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. No man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So he's given us a divine nature. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Do you add it? Or does he add it? The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. I know we use the word, we read the word, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, but it's by God's grace that we grow. It's by God dealing with us and through trials and discipline and chastisement and all kind of things that we grow. And this faith he's given us, these precious promises, we don't grow in them, they're perfect. But this divine nature, that's perfect too. But these things grow. Now come on, listen to this. Add to your faith virtue, that's Christian virtue. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, faith, meekness, long-suffering, patience, humility. That's Christian virtue. One writer said that the virtue here is the presence of God's Spirit producing the fruit of the vine. And add to your virtue knowledge, to know Christ. Paul said, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. As I study his word, I grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. But God gives me the revelation of the knowledge of Christ. And add to your knowledge temperance, self-control. Self-control. Look not on your own things, but on the things of others we read a while ago. Self-control. Temperance is self-control. Patience, waiting on God. Are we learning these things? This is making our election sure, our calling, and these things. Now we'll see in a moment how important these things are. He gives us faith, he gives us promises, he gives us a divine nature, and he enables us to grow in knowledge, in self-control, in patience, in godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, a special family relationship. I sense and feel among you that growth in brotherly kindness. And then he says, "Brother, add to brotherly kindness charity." The word charity is used in the New Testament 27 times. 27 times. Take your concordance and look it up and read it. Every single time it's used has the same meaning. Number 26 in the back of your Strong Concordance, Greek lexicon. And the Greek word for charity is agape. And it's taken from number 25, which is agapeo. And it has one meaning, charity. One meaning and several words, but it's always the same meaning. To love. For you to love. For you to love in a moral sense and in a social sense. For you to love with affection and benevolence. And it uses the word dearly and well beloved. So anytime you see the word charity in the New Testament, in instructing believers, the word is not Christ, it's love. That's right. You read that, and that's what he's telling us here. And that's what he's saying over here in 1 John chapter 4. Chapter 4. And you can't love without Christ. I know that. But this word is not Christ. It's love. And I know the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts. I know that. I know we can't live without Christ. We can't have faith without Christ. But we have faith. We can't have patience without Christ. But we have patience. You see, it's not his patience. It's your patience. He gives it to you. But the Holy Spirit doesn't believe for you. You believe. But the Holy Spirit gives you faith. Now you look here at 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God. That's charity. He that does not have charity, benevolence, affection, love, knows not God. That's what that's saying. For God is love. So as I studied this, go back to my text, as I study this scripture here, make my election, how do I know I'm God's elect? Now he called me. He called a sinner. That's who he called. A sinner. Weak, base, nothing. Vile, despised. He called me by his purpose, his everlasting sovereign purpose, determined in Christ before the world began, set his affection on me and on you, and called us. Called us to Christ. And we keep on coming to Christ. Don't come to an altar. We have an altar. It's Christ. Don't come to a preacher. We come to Christ. We keep pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it's one hope to be like him. When we see him, when he comes, we'll be like him. And he that hath this hope in him purifies himself. And then he continues in that calling. He doesn't get dissatisfied with it. He doesn't run over here and taste this religion a little bit, run over and taste that, run over here and find something else and get tired and find. When God called him, he called him to stay. He's weak, but he'll grow in Christ. And these things here, he gives us faith. He gives us precious promises. He gives us a divine nature. He gives us his spirit. He gives us a knowledge of Christ. He conquers us. There's a self-control. He gives us patience to wait on him. He gives us brotherly kindness. And he gives us love. He gives us love. Now verse 8, look at this. See if this is not what Peter said. Now if these things be in you, what things? Well, back there in verse 3, according to his divine power, he hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's some things that pertain to life and godliness. They pertain to life. If life is there, these things are there. If these things are not there, life is not there. These things pertain to life and godliness. He gives them to us. Now, if these things be in you, and I'm not, and we never will be in this life perfected in these things. But they're there, and these things be, and they abound. They're bound. They manifest themselves. They control us. They're lived out. They abound. These things being you and abound. They make you. You'll not be barren. What's barren? Lifeless. No fruit. Idle. Nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he that lacks these things that pertain to life and godliness, he's blind. He may be a Calvinist, but he's a blind Calvinist. He may be a Baptist, but he's a blind Baptist. And he can't see. And he has forgotten that he claims to be purged from his old sins. He claims to be a new creature. He claims to be bought by Christ. He claims to be a servant of Christ, but he's not. God's servants aren't blind. They were, but now they see. They're not deaf. They were, but now they hear. They're not dead. They were, but now they live. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing is this. The third thing is this. How can I know my election of God? By my calling. I digested that, my calling. This calling, this divine calling. And you heard it. By these things that are contrary to the flesh, that are only by the grace of God. Only one place these things can be found. Faith, promises, divine nature, Spirit of God, love. That's in those who are called. Those who are called. And the third thing is this. He says in verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, if you do these things, what thing? But if you're seeking Christ, pressing on to Christ, looking to Christ, determined to win Christ and be found in Him, growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, our main concern. If we believe His Word and rest in His blood and righteousness, you'll never fall. He didn't say you'd never sin, you'll never fall. He didn't say you'll never stray, you'll never fall. For an entrance, listen to this, for an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An abundant entrance. First of all, an abundant supply of grace and strength will be given you through this life, through all the trials and experiences of this life. An abundant supply. And when this life is over, and we're called to depart out of this world, there will be given to us an abundant entrance. You know how that word abundant, it means richly. It means triumphantly. It means largely. You'll depart from this world when it comes time for us to die, believers. We'll depart from this world in joy and comfort. We'll triumph over sickness and death when that time comes. We shall die free from sin and free from judgment and clothed in His beauty. And we shall enter heaven, He says, abundantly, welcomed, richly, largely, triumphantly in Christ our Lord. You do these things, you'll never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, largely, richly, triumphantly, into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now listen to what Peter says here, and I'll let you go. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. You know them. Though you know everything I've said tonight, you already know. Isn't that right? I already knew it. Everything I studied and read and wrote down, he already knew that. But I need to be reminded. He said, I'll put you in remembrance that you, because though you already know them, and be established in the present truth. Be more established. Now here are four or five reasons why we preachers need to apply these things to our own hearts and then not to be negligent in reminding our people. And here they are. First of all, because God's people are beset with trials and infirmities which literally shake this old tabernacle of clay. Some of you have come here tonight, and today has been a day when you've been shaken. This old tabernacle of clay, it gets shaken by our thoughts, gets shaken by our experiences, gets shaken by our pains, it gets shaken by our old age and fears. So we need to get in here, don't we? Because it gets shaken. It is a tabernacle. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And I'll not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, though you already know them, that you might be established, because this old house is an old house, and it's frail and feeble. Secondly, because we live in a land of forgetfulness, and we need to be reminded of his promises. Brother Woody Thompson called me yesterday evening. I was out at the time. I came in. Darcy said, "Woody called you. I want you to call him." I said, "I'll do that. First of all, I'm going to do something else, and then I'll call him." This morning, 7 o'clock this morning, I was lying there thinking, I didn't call Woody. I hate that. But I forgot. About 9 o'clock, when I knew he'd be up, I said, "I'm sorry." He said, "That's all right." I'm awful sorry. Tell me the old story, I forget so soon. Isn't that right? You spend about 2 weeks away from the house of God, fellowship of the saints and the Word of God. See what kind of shape you get in. That's right. Thirdly, we are beset with false preachers. False winds of doctrine are blowing all around me. Powerful forces of evil wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness. You believe that? And I'll tell you this. He said, there'll arise false Christ with signs and wonders, and they'll deceive the elect if it were possible. That's right. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. I hope how soon he shortens them, because it's sure getting shaky for a lot of people. False preachers, false winds of doctrine, powerful forces of evil, and they are successful. Don't kid yourself. They're successful in their realm. And it shakes God's people. Fourthly, we need to be reminded of these things, because every time we're reminded, we get hold of something new, and something precious, and something wonderful. Because you see, we know in part, and we keep having to add parts. Every time we read the Word, there's another part. Another part, another piece. It's like, you know, we used to work those jigsaw puzzles, and just keep putting pieces in after a while. Oh, my, isn't that wonderful? Keep putting in things that God reveals to us. We see through a glass dimly. We need to keep rubbing that glass, getting a better view, you know. That's how you do with the Word. And then, last, we just flat need to be encouraged. Exhort one another daily while it's called today. We need to be encouraged. There's so few that believe this gospel. When you're out there, I don't have the problem you have where you work and associate and large families, and a lot of people don't believe the gospel. They don't believe the gospel of God. They're religious now. Very, very religious, but they don't believe God. And we need to encourage one another. I received a letter. Ronnie will probably remember it, but this lady, she picked up our broadcast out of Washington on that D.C. station. She lives in North Carolina. And she said, she wrote to Brother Ronnie, and she said, when I first started listening to your program, She said, I thought I could be selective and just order a tape once in a while, but she said, the longer I listen, I realize all the messages are true to the gospel. All of them. You remember this letter, true to Christ? I got to have all of them, she said, because they're all glorifying to God. And she said, it's so amazing to find somebody telling the truth about God on television. I wrote her back yesterday, and I said, it may be amazing to you to find somebody telling the truth about God on television. It's amazing to me to find somebody who believes it. That's right. I said, you're as amazing to me as I am to you. And that's true. Amazing grace. You believe this gospel? I tell you, the only reason you do is God, before the world began, chose you, set his love on you, elected you, and he said, I'm going to make him my own. And he called you and revealed the gospel to you and gave you all these things that pertain to life and godliness, faith, promises, divine nature, his spirit, and all these other things. He gave them to you. And old Peter said here, in verse 13, yea, and I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to tell you the same thing. Oh, just as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to tell it to you. Because shortly, verse 14, I expect he's about my age. This was 30 years after Christ arose. Knowing shortly I've got to put off this tabernacle, as my Lord showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have somebody else stand up here and tell you this.